Morning, everybody. Hey, this is side's lopsided. I better come on this side to balance you out. How we doing? Yeah. This last week, I had an occasion to read, and you can get this online. It's a paper that C.S. Lewis wrote. Now, he's tough for me to read, and I don't read him in leisure. I struggle. I don't know why, maybe because he's an intellect and I'm not. But the paper was on the inner circle. And this is what he's talking about. I'm going to put it in my own words, and this is what I caught. You could read it. You might catch something different. But the inner circle, he says, is every single person is looking for the inner circle. And it's a place where you feel accepted and a place that is beyond yourself. It's a place that you rise up into a higher position in this inner circle. How can I illustrate that a little better? Like a church. There are some maybe who strive to be in leadership in a church, and if they can make that, it's like they feel valued and they feel important because they've come to a place in an inner circle. Now, everyone is trying to obtain this inner circle in some way. And I thought to myself, oh man, no wonder churches have problems. And the reason why I say that, have you ever heard the term a clique? Have you ever heard that term? And I've always heard it as a negative. I'm telling you, it's not. You know what the problem with people who are bothered by cliques or groups of people who are real close friends is? They want to get in the inner circle and they can't get in there for some reason. They're looking for something beyond themselves, and they think maybe that would be it. The problem is there's a lot of people who get into an inner circle in churches, that clique, that certain people who maybe have certain status, a certain place, and they get in this inner circle, and then they find out, oh, hey, they have issues and problems. And so they go somewhere else to get in an inner circle, and they never seem to find that place where they feel like they're really important. That's why you have gangs, looking for something beyond themselves where they feel fulfilled and they feel like they're more important or they have a position or they're somebody in that inner circle. And he said, he goes on, and I just love this. He said, the Word of God tries to help us. It tries to move us to an inner circle. Because it's the only place in this inner circle that we truly can find that sense of purpose, that sense of someone. And he said that inner circle is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, but man, it makes so much sense to me as I look at people who are striving for a place or striving to be someone, or striving somehow to be seen, or to have purpose, or to have value in their life. That inner circle, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access to the Father. You have access to that inner circle. You have access to a place in Him where you can have that satisfaction, that sense of purpose, that sense of value. That's in Jesus Christ. But the question I have, and the question I throw out to you, we all who know the Lord Jesus, we have that access to the Father. So, how do you really get there? You have in a few weeks, Pam and I are going to go away to this resort for our 50th anniversary, and it's all inclusive, and what they'll do is they'll give us a card. And that card has we have a room that we're going to have, and you put that car in a slot, I don't know how it is there, or you just wave it in front of it, and the door will open for you because you have access because of that card. And that card will have access to special rooms where there's food. And you'll be able to access, because of the card that you slide, and you'll be able to go in those special rooms. 6 restaurants that are all free. Well, no, they're not free. You're paying for them, you know what I mean? And we'll have access to every single one of them. And I'm especially excited that there is a sushi bar. Oh, I'll be accessing that often. So how do you access the excess? Or how do you get to that place that we say, hey, we have access to the Father? Paul said that. In Hebrews, it says that, and we're going to look at that, that we have access, that we can approach him, and that we can get into an inner circle. Well, how then does you do that? It's been made possible by Jesus Christ, just like going to the resort. It's been made possible by our credit card. But we're going to have a card that will be able to walk into places that you will not be able to go. But I will. You know why? Because I'm in the inner circle. So how do you get this card in reality as a Christian, as a church, as people? Because you have access, we know that, but okay, what's going to be the thing to really move you into that place? Well, let's look in Hebrews. I love Hebrews. And so get on your phones or your Bible, and I don't have them for you, but you should be able to access it, because you should have your Bible, or you should have your phone that has a Bible so you can access it. All right, Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places. Enter. We have confidence to enter. I have access. Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together. See, you're not neglecting to meet together, and I really appreciate it. I just don't like it when people are gone. I like you to be here. I'm just selfish that way. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. You got to love the Word of God. You got to love so much that talks about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And I want to start with that first verse 19, and we'll just go through and hopefully gain some understanding so we can access. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through the flesh, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now that might that might strike you of, oh, I don't understand that. I don't get that. What is the curtain and what? I mean, if you're a new believer, that might seem kind of strange. What is he talking about there? And Hebrews has a lot of stuff like that. And you know why? Because he's writing the Hebrews. He's writing those Jewish people who had a lot of history and understood a lot of things that were going on in the Old Testament. And he's explaining that Jesus Christ has fulfilled what was written long ago. And one of the things that God planned out for them, a ritual, things that they would go through, and they would kill animals. I mean, it was a bloody mess. And a modern thinker, a modern day guy who doesn't know what it's all about, might look back at that and read that, man, those Jews, they were just killing everything. And it was just bloody, and it was just a mess of the things that they were doing. And they might have a real criticism because they don't understand what it was looking to, which was Jesus Christ. And so God made some laws. He made some laws and had them build a tabernacle, later a temple, a place that they would go and they would worship. And what they did is they would have sacrifices that they would do. And certain times of the year, they would do certain different kinds of sacrifices. But once a year, and there were three places in this tabernacle. There was the outer place, and then there was the place, another place where all the Jews could go in and they could worship. But then there was a place called the Holy Place. And that was special, because in it there was the Ark of the Covenant. And in that place, they could only go in once a year to spill the blood. Now, once a year. And only one guy, the high priest. Now, it's kind of a weird kind of thing that was going on there, because God made it clear that if you weren't worthy, that, you might go in there and he'll kill you. Just that Old Testament stuff, you look at that, wow, what's all that all about? I mean, it was real stuff. And so they devised this plan, and so what they did, so when a priest would go in, they would tie a rope around his leg just in case. If they're not supposed to go in there and he dies, how do they get him out? A year later, another guy could go out, but the body would be all stinky and everything. And so they devised this thing, hey, let's get him out. If he dies, then we'll just pull him out. It just sounds weird, doesn't it? A holy place. It was so holy, it was so incredible, that only one guy once a year. And there was a potential that he could die if he wasn't worthy. And they had all kinds of things that they would kill. It's interesting. Let me read to you in the 10th chapter again, the very first verse. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of a true form of these realities, it can never, listen to this, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. It can never make people who draw near perfect. It will never work, because it was a shadow of something that would happen, and that something was Jesus Christ, who shed his blood. Now, you go back to that verse that we read, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, that's what he's talking about, that holy place, that holy of holies. Now, we have confidence that we can enter that place, that we can come into a very holy of holies. Now, some of you have heard that maybe your whole life if you've been in Christianity. But we need to get how special that is. In context of history, only one person once a year. They have confidence in the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And by the way, in the ESV, it says holy places. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that went into the holy place, the Holy of Holies. And that curtain, when Jesus was crucified, was torn in half. Symbolizing, now anyone can enter that, but that was just symbolic, and that was just a shadow of what he had in mind for us. And Jesus became the reality of that. Now just hang with me. I know you're saying, boy, this is that history stuff. I don't know. Verse 22. Okay, now, since that is true, since it's true that there's the holy place that we can draw, and he's not talking about a place, a temple in Israel, because that was all destroyed and all taken away, all ruined, all gone. There's no place that can, because that had no bearing any longer upon relationship with God. It had to do with Jesus Christ. And so he says, so let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, that's symbolic again. I don't know how they did it, but one guy, Utley, if you ever listen to Utley, he's a scholar, he's amazing, and he said they would take the blood and they would literally go amongst the people and fling it on them. How would you like that? Just fling some blood on you. No, but it was symbolic, a shadow of something that would happen, that the blood of Jesus washes you and cleanses you. And so this is a huge, huge thing. Now he says, draw near to this one. And it says, now listen to this. Verse 23, let us hold fast. He says, draw near and hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What do you hope in? If you're a Christian, you hope in Jesus Christ. That's your faith. That's where you put your trust and your hope and faith. Now, these things, I haven't given you anything practical. I haven't given you a card. I mean, you have the card, but how does the card work that you access, that you move in? Like, when we get that card in this place, we're going, man, I don't know if you slide in like this, you do like this, but I'm excited. Especially those six doors around where the food is, you know. But okay, you have access, but do you have the card? What are you talking about? Well, listen to this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider. Now here we go. Now listen to this. Let us consider. I want you to think here. That's what he's saying. I want you to consider. I want you to consider about other people. Now remember the context. A long, long time ago when I read this, it was like, I don't know what that all means, but that sounds good at the end where it says, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some. So what he's saying there, and I would preach this many, many years ago. I'd preach this and it says, you got to go to church. That's what he's saying. You go to church. You go to church. I know people who have gone to church their whole life and they have never accessed the holy place. Because there's something that he wants to reveal to us here on how to access everything that's happened for you. What Jesus has done for you. Because let me tell you something about Christianity. It is not a lone religion. It is not a lone faith. We're in this together. And so he's going to tell us, listen to what he says, consider. Now, after he gave us this incredible understanding or this thought of what Jesus has come, and the veil rent in two, and we can access the holy place, we can go into the Holy of Holies. He tells us to consider. I want you to think about now, what are we supposed to think about? Because it's a key to something here. And verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, yeah, we're supposed to come together. And so here you are together. We're in church, and you're looking at me. But you see, that isn't what he had in mind in this particular part. That is, what we do here is a wonderful thing, an important thing, and I can cast a vision, and I can give us some direction, but there's something else that needs to happen in your life. Because you're to consider how to stir up one another and to encourage each other in love and good deeds. That's what he says. So consider, how do you stir up? Now let me ask you, you're looking this way, and you're not looking at each other, and you're not together, and maybe some of you talking, but you're not talking about what I'm talking about. You're just gabbing. But we're to consider how to stir up. Oh, this word, stir up. One of the meanings of this word, stir up, irritate. Now, some said I'm good at that, irritating people. But I don't mean to be. Well, I used to mean to be. I'm not that way anymore. But it's more than just irritate. There's something that we're to stir up or confront. And it's a pretty strong word. It's a spur. In fact, another translation says spur one another. You know, the spur on the boots. Mike knows about that. And you take and you just hit that horse. It seems mean to me. I don't. Do they still use those things for stuff? You're not going to answer that. Okay. It seems mean. We're going to get PETA or whoever they are to take care of that because it just seems terrible. But what does it do? It irritates that horse to get that horse going. And so he says we're to do some things that causes some stirring to get us going, to get us moving. Now listen, the context here is incredible. Because he's talking about entering that holy place. And so this is extremely important to get there, that we stir one another, because you probably won't on your own. Why is that? Why don't we get there on our own? Now, some do, no doubt. But why don't we get there on our own? We don't get there because of the inner circle. Remember when I had the ring of the inner circle? And so what we do with the ring of the inner circle, this is what we do. We find people we're compatible with. Now, when you get married, you mess all that up. But you find people, right? You're not compatible. That's what everyone says. Well, yeah, we're just not getting along. There's a reason for it. But people who, they have friends and they have things that they enjoy together. They have things that they like. Maybe you're into skiing, snow skiing. And so you have these friends, and every year you go to Mount Hood and Jefferson or wherever you ski, and you go to the different places to ski because you have this in common, and you like each other, and you have other things that you like to talk about, and you're a Blazer fan, and boy, you just get along so well. Because, see, we have a tendency to move with people that like us and we like them. But this inner circle is something different. We're to have an inner circle where we stir each other. And to what purpose? We stir each other. I mean, do you belong to a group that can speak into your life about God? Do you have a relationship with people that they can say to you, hey, your thinking is wrong. Your gossip is wrong. You want to move in with that guy or that girl? That's wrong. And then you go into Scripture and you talk it out and you work it out. That's wrong in what you're doing. Now, you don't do it because you want to belong to a certain church. You do it because you want God's best for that person. You want what God says in their life. And so you're willing to stir up things in them. And that takes someone else. And that takes someone who loves you to the degree that they care about where you're going and what you're doing in your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, what we do is we just float along to the things that we like and to the people that we like. But you will never truly access that holy place that way. Now, you have relationship with Jesus Christ, and every once in a while you get the big time tingles. Every once in a while you feel good about things, and every once in a while you have some successes. But I'm telling you, there's a place in God that he tells us about, and it's that inner circle in him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and some other people around you that care about what the Father and Son, Holy Spirit think about you. In a setting like this, it just doesn't work. Now, I could say, okay, every service, I could say every service, okay, what we're going to do at the end of the service, we're going to break up into groups, and I want you to pray together and talk about the issues of your life and pray about those things, and we do that. But man, it would probably empty the church if we did that, because some of you can't handle it. You're afraid to get into a place where God gets the glory. You see, here's the thing about us. No one needs to tell us we're sinners. We know that. And so it's not a type of thing for someone just to tell me, hey, you're doing wrong. But someone who will put their arm around it, they'll come alongside and they'll say, hey, you're doing wrong, but let me help you. Because there's another term that he uses there. He says, stir up one another, but he also says, encourage one another. And usually in churches, you don't have a good balance of that. Either you have the people who were feeling better and self-righteous than other people, and they're just telling people what they're doing wrong. Or you have a church that's a lot like ours. A lot like ours. A church that we just love you all. We love you right where you are, and we're going to get along. And you're going to mess up. We know that. And so we just accept you, and we encourage you to move on in Jesus. But you need both things, so those things can be spoken into our life. The other day, I have who I consider, I don't know if he does, but I consider one of my top-notch friends. And I have several friends who speak into my life. Well, this top-notch friend, he challenged me on something. Do you like to be challenged? And I hesitate to say his name. No, I was going to make a joke and mention his name, but I won't do that. Because I forgot, I didn't talk to him about this. And he challenged me. And I don't know how long we talked about it, for about an hour. And he challenged me about Tuesday night and what we're going to do and what we did last year and we're going to do again. And he particularly didn't care for the name Fight Club, because he says, now listen, because that gives you an idea that I don't think is good, that you're fighting against something. And he says, what is your enemy? And my first response was the devil. And he kind of went, it wasn't the right answer for him. But he knows that the devil is our enemy. He knows that, and I knew he knew that. And I knew the second thing, but this is what he wanted to be emphasized. And he began to talk about it. He said, the real problem is not the devil. The real problem is ourselves. The real problem is you and me. And we're selfish, we're self-centered, we're full of pride. You know, we have all kinds of issues in our life that we go through. You know, all kinds of things. And we just kind of float through. He said on Tuesday night, he said, what we have to understand that. And the answer to it, and he was spot on, the answer to it is community. You get with people. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. He's saying to spur one another. Stir up in you righteousness and good things. Willing to talk to you because they love you, they care about you. And you can't do it on your own. It's one of the greatest things about a marriage, though. If two people really want what God wants, God's best, you're going to be talking about those things all the time, and you stir up things in yourselves. Now, Pam and I are going to be married 50 years, and by the way, on the 23rd, we're having a party at some gathering place in Kaiser. We want you to come. Everyone's invited. Bring your neighbor. We're going to have tacos and cake and just, you know, what I wanted. So, at any rate, we've been married 50 years. Now, there's times that she's given me the what for's. And then she would say, after she gave me the what for, she said, well, what do you think Jesus is thinking about that? And that's about when I go. Now, I have done the same to her. You know, I wanted so bad to tell you one time, I got all after her. Oh, I so want to tell you. But I got all after her, and I said, listen, the Bible's very clear about this, and I don't like, well, you've done it too. Yes, I have, but you're doing it right now. And I want you to stop it. And I want you to get a hold of yourself, and I want you to stop it. Maybe I was nicer than that, but I don't think so. And you know what she said? She bowed her head and says, you're right. You're right. Do you have people? I mean, do you speak into each other's lives like that? Or are you distant, a husband and wife? And you can't talk about the difficulties of life and the hardships and the feelings that you have. And more important to that, that ring that you're in, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he's speaking things into your life using each other. Well, on Tuesday night, that's what we're going to do. And it probably is going to scare some of you off. You're going to do what? Now, listen, we have two type of groups. We have open groups, men and women. We're not going to have, they're going to be separate men and women. And then we have these challenge groups, and they're going to be closed for the whole year. And you join it, and you make such a commitment to people, eight ladies or eight men, depending on your gender. And you make a commitment to each other. Some of you have never done anything like that. In fact, even in your marriage, you're having a hard time because it's hard for you to talk. Husband, when was the last time that you prayed for your wife? When was the last time that, I mean, it should be every day. Now I'm talking about with her present. If you're a husband, take your wife's hand right now. If you're a husband, take your wife's hand. Okay, you got it? All right. Now, because I'm gonna help you pray. And you repeat my prayer. Lord, I thank you for my wife. Forgive me for being so self-centered and thinking so much of myself. Forgive me for not being bold enough when she messes up. Bold enough in love. Okay, I mean, you can see that. We need that kind of community. That's how you access this thing. That's how you have the credit card that you swipe, that you move into the room, into the holy place. We need each other. It's God's will, God's way. Paul, again and again, wrote, one another, one another, one another. And you read it here in two verses there. Let me see if I can find it. Consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglect to meet together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. So you have the stirring up, and then you have the encouraging. That's sympathizing with people. Let me tell you. A person who feels so righteous, may I throw in self-righteous? A person who feels so self-righteous It is easy for them to see the failures of others. But God wants us to have this empathy, this encouragement inside of us, that we see the failures of each other, and it breaks our heart because we know the damage that it does, because it's done, some of the damage has happened to us because of our own failures. That we see our own failures. We see the weaknesses in our life. Now, in most churches, people do not face their weaknesses. They don't want to. They want to look good. That's why, well, not in our church so much, but that's why in a lot of churches, man, they dress up. I mean, this is my best. I'm looking good for you. I'm putting on my best. My wife won't let me wear jeans. So I'm obedient. I'm an obedient boy. We want to look good to people. It's like you're on your way, husband or wife, and you're fussing and feuding, and you pull up in the parking lot, and you see the deacon, hi. And you've just been cussing each other out on the way. Now, none of you would do that. I'm talking about other churches. Hi. So, you know, so you can do that. So I know you have more self-control than you think you have. You know, the husband or the wife will say, well, you just make me so mad I go crazy. Hi! No, you choose to do that. You're just in a kind of a rut. Well, hey, we need to get in the place where we can stir one another up, where we can encourage each other, where we can put our arm around. And one of the meanings of encourage means to come alongside. We need to come alongside each other. We need each other for good works. Now, listen then. So there's two things that this is to do for us. And he uses two terms here, the result of it, and then I'm going to be done. To love, that we're to encourage each other, that we're stir up each other to love and good works. Love and deeds. Love and deeds. So I made a list of things. Okay, what could be some things that maybe we need to stir up? And I already mentioned one of them. But I don't know. You know, in our culture, we're pretty self-centered. And we're pretty greedy in our culture. America, that's one of our issues. And every nation has main issues that they have. Well, one of ours is greed. And so we need to help each other. Hey, have you been paying tithe? No, I don't have enough money for that. Oh, you just bought a $5 coffee. I mean, see, we don't even think along those ways. Oh, I want to talk about that, but maybe I shouldn't. I don't want to digress. Hey, brother. Man, I saw you yelling at your kids. Let's talk about that and how we can help that. Because anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. But anger produces rebellion in the child. Let's talk about that. And there's just a whole host of issues that we could talk about and that we could help each other along. To love, and to good works. Let me talk just a minute about good works. Because there's the kind of works that we could do in serving the church and serving each other. But I think that there's also this thing in this term, good works. And because Jesus showed it in his life, and that's caring about those that the world doesn't care about. Caring about people that the world snubs them. The other day I walked up to Starbucks and a woman walked out and she was dressed really nice. And she said, hey, you can tell I'm not a homeless person, but I'm in trouble and I need gas money. Well, that's a famous line, but she looked good. And she said, can you get something to help with gas? So I got my wallet and I pulled out a five, which usually it's one or two, but I felt so generous. And I gave her a five, and I said, here you go, hopefully that helps. And she looked at me, she said, can you give me another five? Now, I don't know, and I don't know what's wrong with me, but I lost my smile, and I looked at her, and I said, no. And went and bought me a $7 coffee. No, I didn't. Mine's $2.45 or something like that. Anyway, I have no idea why I told you that story. So worship team, come on up. And, I know what it was. Come on up. That we need to really consider, and we need people to help stir us up a little bit to love and to good works, and to care about people that maybe we might feel better than or in a better position than, or, you know, the reason why they have the situation they have, they need to get a job, they need to get off their cocaine or whatever they take, they're the ones that got themselves in this mess. And I think that we could say, yes, they did. But let me tell you what's bad about that thinking. How come you're not in that mess? You would think because of yourself. And I have issue with that. You're just full of pride. You think you pulled yourself up? Mike, you were into drugs and alcohol? You were a scum bucket. Kind of. Oh, still am a scum bucket. Mike's got a business. He's wealthy. You know, no, I'm kidding. Oh, he just swallowed his gum. He's a businessman. We respect him. Why is that? He knows the grace of God. The grace of God. Let me tell you, everything comes from God, through God and to God. Remember that last week? Comes from God, through God and to God. The very ability that you have to come to church and to worship God, that's because He's working in your life. Now, yes, He needs to work more and deeper, but that's where places like Tuesday night comes in. So you can access that holy place, that place where God dwells, where people come together, where two or three are together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them, that holy place. And in your community, you struggle. That's the good fight. The enemy inside. Jesus overcame the enemy of our soul. And now all we have to do is access Him, because He's defeated and we're victorious. But we still have a war going on inside of us that is our selfish, selfish, selfish self. And we need to be stirred and encouraged to love and good works. Let's sing this song. Let's stand. I tell you, I really enjoy being in the circle. I mean, I'm an elder. I'm in the inner circle. Do you know, if all that was in an inner circle with elders, I wouldn't be around here. And that's why pastors only stay like a year and a half. But there's something to be in an inner circle with some people with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Will you allow people by the Spirit of God to speak into your life? And I want that for me, and I want that for you. So, hey, think about Tuesdays. I mean, what are you going to do? You can tape the Blazer games. And the thing that's good about that, you can scroll clear to the fourth quarter and then watch them lose. That's what is good about that. Father, today, I thank you for that inner circle. I thank you that you have made us somebody. You've adopted us. That you have raised us up into heavenly places. But you make it so very clear that we need to access all that. Father, you've done that through Jesus Christ. Now may those things become real to us. By the Holy Spirit, by people who love us, by praying together, singing together, worshiping you, honoring you, studying the Bible together, oh God, that you be glorified. And we thank you. Your blessing as we go today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.